Let us pray, grant, Lord, that as we are in the assembly of the saints, so the Lord may be precious in our sight, and his word guide us. For his name's sake, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 30 and verse 6. And David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I once read Hugh Redwood's books, and once he said on one occasion he was visiting a burglar, I think a cat burglar, who was in prison. A very, very active young man, finding it very difficult. And he said, the young man said to him, I read the Bible to get through. And he stared at him and he said, I read about David. He said, I admire his daring, his animal spirits, and the way that he was skilled in war. He said, I often think about David and I dream about him. Well now, David was a very great leader. And there's no use comparing ourselves to him. But what kept him going was not animal spirits. There are a lot of people around like that, and they don't keep going. What kept David going was faith. And I want to show you that the faith that kept David going is the faith that keeps you and I going, and that faith has two levels to it. Normally, when David was going along smoothly, he could write psalms and he could show that God was with him. He walked with God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And not only could David show that God was with him, but he was quite sure then his prayers would be answered. Now, I find that when I'm conscious that I walk with God, then I find my prayers answered. I find it easy to pray. I find that I start to pray, and in the morning, strange things began to happen, and we get answers to prayer. I actually find it easy once I'm walking with the Lord, and so do you. You find that when you're walking with God, God actually and wonderfully answers you in prayer. But what when you fall? Now I want to take you to what had happened to David. Because behind this scene, there's something very, very nasty indeed. David is in deep, deep distress. And the reason is this. He's found by bitter experience that he's gone wrong, and because he's gone wrong, he's standing in the midst of blackened, ruined houses, totally deserted, and all that they had gone. He's a poor man. All the spoil he'd gathered had gone. His wives, Abigail and Ahinoam, had gone. His men's wives had gone, and the whole thing was a mess. Now, if you really sin against God, you will find yourself looking at the blackened ruins of your life. You will find yourself standing there looking at everything gone wrong. And when you do, the temptation is to give up. David's 600 loyal men gave up, and they spake of stoning him. And every man cried until he could cry no more. They wearied themselves with, and it wasn't just crying. Have you ever watched an Eastern funeral? The yelling and waving and wailing is something to do with revenge. And they were hotting themselves up to take revenge on David for having got them into that situation. Now, in that situation, David found two things. One, he was deserted by his whole loyal following. And the second was that he was on the wrong side of God. He had got them into this situation. You see, there's two types of faith in life, and you need both of them to get through. And the real faith is when things have gone wrong. And that is the faith that I live on when I'm conscious that I've gone wrong. And I want to show you that David was restored immediately and fully. God didn't say to David, well now, wait a while, get back in touch with me, and then we'll see what can be done about this situation. God restored David that moment completely and fully and made him wonderfully and a different person. Now that's a wonderful thing that happened and something that we need to think about. Now, he says that David was greatly distressed. Well, what had gone wrong? It wasn't Ziklag bothering David, and it isn't the things that have gone wrong in your life or mine that are bothering us. If we're really believers, it is that David had left the straight road to heaven and had taken a bypath in order to get there quicker. And every bypath you will find has more thorns and tears your hands and lacerates you more than the real path, however stony and thorny it looks. You'll find once you get over the hill in bypath that it goes into terrible country and bogs, and it will finish you. Many and many a person going into bypath has never come out again. It ends in Doubting Castle and it ends with terrible trouble. Now, this is what had happened to David. He, in chapter 27 and verse 1, David said in his heart, I shall now perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape into the lands of the Philistines, and Saul shall despair of me to seek me any more on the coasts of Israel, so I shall escape out of his hand. Now what had happened to David was, he found himself beset by enemies who pursued him, who went after real enemies. I'm not talking about the pretend sort, but the sort who really intended to kill him. And he was in great distress and discomfort. He went from cave to cave, and he went from valley to valley. He hid in En-Gedi, in the cliffs of the rock, cliffs where the gullies are cut, and he hid wherever he could, on the hill, Hakimon, all over the place. He just ran for it, with Saul after him. And David got sick of it. And David's faith gave way. And David said one day, God has told me to be in this land. God has made me king of it. I'm going to leave the land. I'm going to go to the Philistines. And I'm going to be safe, quiet and happy. Now that is exactly what David did. And many a Christian makes the same mistake in life. They say, I've had enough of all this battling with life. Now look, the devil has got close to you and he's wrestling you. And the thing he's wrestling you for is to get your faith off you. The moment he can grab your faith, he's like David who got hold of the spear of the man who was against him. You'll find that that's what he's after, your armor and your faith. And Apollyon stands before you, bridging the path, and it looks so terrible that you turn aside to Bypath Meadow. That is a terrible thing, and that is what lots of Christians do. They do it in family life where things go wrong. They do it in where church matters go wrong. They do it everywhere. Turn aside from the actual fight to a pretense fight. And that's what David had done. He said, I want peace and quiet. I've had enough of running around the country, hunted like a partridge in the mountains, like a flea in a garment by Saul. One pinch and I'm going to die, and I can see no other way of getting through but to get away. Now wasn't that a lack of faith? And where did it lead him? Well, it led him down to Achish of Gath. Now, Achish stands out very well in this story. Achish was a very good man. He appears as an upright man, an honest man, and a man not far from the kingdom. And David turned him off it. And what David did was unpardonable. He deceived Achish. He made Achish think that by giving him Ziklag, he was carrying out raids on his own people and on the Amalekites and that around, but he wasn't carrying out any raids against the Philistines. But in fact, he was going down into the villages and he was carrying out raids against the people of Achish and killing every last one of them in case anyone escaped to tell Achish the story. Now look, once you turn from the immediate fight and run away from it, fear is the one thing you have to fear. Once fear rules your way, I'll tell you what happens. You end up in Ziklag with everything burnt. Everything gone. And that's what fear does. Fear is a thing Christians are not to give way to. Now David feared, therefore he'd gone, and what had he done? He'd told lies, and he'd lived a lie. And he'd lived a lie for years. Now even in the Old Testament, this was the man who said that he wouldn't have any untruthful man near him, and he wouldn't have any liar in his house, and written it in a psalm. And here he is telling lies one after another and living a lie all day. It's no wonder he ended up in Ziklag with the whole place smouldering around him. God doesn't deal with us like that. God has more to life than just letting us off with living a lie and pretending we're what we aren't and avoiding the battle and getting into places where we shouldn't. What it leads to is one sin leads to the next, and before we know where we are, God has to pull us up short on a short rein, and that's a very sad affair. But it happened to David. Now that's the background of this, and something we need to leads to another. Now God hadn't finished with David. David standing there, you might have thought God was saying, I've finished with this man. I promised him everything like I promised Saul. He's behaved just as badly as Saul, and I've done with him. But David had faith. And the most resilient thing about David was faith. And the least resilient thing about us is our faith. Our faith gives way. Our faith sits down. Our faith gets left behind at certain points. David had faith. And standing there in his distress, he encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, isn't that a wonderful thing that David encouraged himself in the Lord? The word means strengthened himself. David got strong again in the Lord. As the people were weeping and howling around him, he was praying. And as he prayed and reviewed his life, he saw where he'd gone wrong. And as he saw where he'd gone wrong, and immediately, like David would, without any second's hesitation, he put the whole thing right. And at that moment confessed his sin. And at that moment, what did God do? Well, you turn with me to 2 Chronicles 12 and verses 19 and 20. And you'll see what God did. And it was a very wonderful thing. Verses 19 and 20 of 1 Chronicles 12. And there fell some of Manasseh to David, which came with the Philistines against Saul to battle. But they helped them not, for the lords of the Philistines, upon advisement, sent them away, saying, he will fall to his master Saul, to the jeopardy of our heads. And he went to Ziklag. As he went to Ziklag, there fell to him out of Manasseh Adnah and Jozabad and Jediel and Michael and Jozabad and Elihu and Zilthai, captains of the thousands that were of Manasseh. And they helped David against the band of the rovers, for they were all mighty men of valor, and were captains of the host. For At that time, day by day, they came to David to help him until there was a great host like the host of God. Do you see what David did? God did for David? The moment he prayed, God put a wall between him and his men, of armed men from Manasseh, who didn't intend to have David killed. They just come to join him. That's one of the wonderful things David did. And I'll tell you another wonderful thing here. David didn't get any encouragement from it. David encouraged himself in the Lord. I find some Christians, and me included, the day, say, we get a news that another 5,000 has come for our church, I feel over the moon. But it's silly. Because the reason is God. It isn't the money. And if we go up and down on money and things, we're going to go up, down, like a roller coaster. It's no way to have faith to put it in things like that. David encouraged himself in the Lord, not the men from Manasseh. And that's the first thing. He restoreth my soul. Now, David stood up, a free man. And a free man is worth being. He was freed of his lies. He was freed of Achish, who'd refused to have him in the battle because of the lords of the Philistines. God had rescued him. Think what would have happened if David had been known in Israel as the man who attacked King Saul and overcame him with the Philistines. David would never have lived it down. How good God was to David in balking him and driving him off and making him look foolish. Well, now, God doesn't judge people. The moment David was restored, that very moment he said, let's get this matter settled. So he went straight to the priest, and he got the ephod, and he got inquiring of the Lord, and he asked the priest to inquire, should we go after this host or no? Now, the next great enemy of faith is haste. He that believeth shall not make haste. When we set out about this building, we've taken a long while. But we've got where no man could have got by trying it another way. There isn't a possibility of our having done what we did by making haste at it. God knows. God has a way through. David didn't make any haste at all. He asked God. Now, I want to tell you something. David asked God sincerely. I know a lot of Christians who ask God and go and do their own thing. They only ask God to endorse and rubber stamp what they think is right. That's all they do. They want God to say yes. Do you remember Gedaliah and his men? And do you remember how Jeremiah was sent to them after the fall of Jerusalem out in the fields? And they said to him, now you turn with me to the passage. It's in Jeremiah chapter 42, and this is what he said. This is what these wicked men said. They said to Jeremiah, the Lord be a true and faithful witness between us, if we do not even according to all the things for the which the Lord thy God shall send thee to us. Whether it be good or whether it be evil, we will obey the voice of the Lord our God to whom we send thee. It may be that it may be well with us when we obey the voice of the Lord our God. And it came to pass after 10 days, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. And what did those men do? Well, you look at chapter 43 and verse 2. Then spake Azariah, the son of Hoshaiah, and Johanan, the son of Kareah, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, thou speakest falsely. The Lord our God hath not sent thee to say, go not into Egypt to sojourn there. That's what they intended to do from the beginning. But Baruch the son of Neriah setteth thee on against us. They always say, oh, that sermon came from men. Oh, that idea came out of a man's mind. Oh, it wasn't from God. That's the way all of them talk. The liberals talk that way. The archbishops talk that way. You'll find the whole church talks that way. They said that the hand to deliver us into the hand of the Chaldeans, that they might put us to death and carry us away captives into Babylon. You see, those men had not the least intention of obeying what God told them from the very word go, and God knew it. And God told them so straight by the mouth of Jeremiah. And I tell you straight that unless you intend to obey the Lord, don't go asking him. Unless you intend to do exactly what God says, don't go. Now, do you see the danger David was in? David had his wife and his everything gone down there, the children of the camp and everyone, the old people, the cattle, everything gone. And he wanted to chase them. Now, you and I would have set off after them like a shot. Did David? No. He risked God saying no. Supposing God had said to David, no, you're not to chase them. I believe David would not have stirred a foot. He would not have gone after them because he knew God had said it. But we would have gone after them. We'd say, oh well, that wasn't right. We shouldn't have inquired of the Lord there. Something was wrong with the inquiry. Let's go. You see, that's lack of faith. Lack of faith goes its own way and is determined to have its own way, whatever God says about it. And that is exactly where things have gone wrong in this country. And there is exactly where they have. It's not gone wrong in Parliament. It's not gone wrong among the people, it's gone wrong among evangelical Christians who are born again. That's where the situation has gone wrong. They behave wickedly. One after another, they're sitting in the midst of what they know to be wrong. All they should do, they won't do, because they say, oh well, that's fussy. Oh, that's going too far. Well, that's taking the word of God too seriously. You shouldn't be getting yourself off there. You should just go where we are, and we go where our friends are, and where our influences are, and where we can preach, and all the rest. God doesn't think like that. Let them think it. They've done immense damage to our country. And I put the whole damage in our country square in the court of Christians. And I have done for years and years. That's where the thing has gone wrong. And that's why it's got to be put right. Now, David was prepared to accept a no of the Lord. So David set out to pursue. Now I want you to see something here. Faith doesn't sit down. Faith works. Faith that worketh by love. And David began to pursue. He ran after them until 200 of his men could go no further. That's a third of his force. And when the 200 men couldn't go another inch, they couldn't even wade through the brook Besor. And at that point they all sat down. And the other 400 had to go on without them. Now, a lot of generals would have said, one third of my force is out of the battle. I cannot go on. I have every reason to honorably sit down at this point. And they would have done so. Don't you sit down. When all the rest give up, you pursue alone. Go on. Don't take any notice of the others. Let the others do what supine thing they will. They haven't got the faith. It wasn't tiredness, it was lack of faith mainly that stopped those men going on. And he went on, David did. And they caught the Amalekites. And they got back their stuff. Every last shoe latchet they got back. Every last person, every last cow, every last sheep, they had the whole lot back. And as they marched back, these wicked 400 men, they weren't good men, said, these others, send them away, give them their wives and children and pack them off. We're not giving them anything. Now that's where David shone. You see, David's faith was restored all in one leap. God can restore from the worst sin you ever committed straight up, right to the very top. And David said, it be not so, my brethren. He said, those that stay with the stuff shall be the same as those who fight the battle. And it became a law for Israel. They had fair shares all round. David was a great man. David was a great sinner. David teaches us great lessons. And when they got back, God restored David and gave him a kingdom. Now, I want to show you just one thing out of this, and that is, however far we fall, straight away when we repent, immediately God restores us to the heights. And I believe from my own experience, God gives us the best after we've sinned sometimes, and gives us less when we're one of the 99 just persons that need no repentance. There is a wonderful blessing when the angels of God sing in heaven over one believing sinner who repents, as well as over all the evil, wicked people who repent. Oh, amen. And God give you to have faith like David. Now...